Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce, where we discuss and review your and our favorite comedy films. I am Ozzy V, the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent that currently resides in Southern California. And first joining me in the Northern Bay Area, Greg. How are you, Greg?
Man, Ozzy, I am fantastic. This week I've got an Oculus on the way. Liquid Tension album gets pre-released. I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. I had a great weekend of football. Pretty fun for me to watch. And, of course, Flesh Wound producer Todd. How are you?
I'm chilling. You knew that.
Chilling, of course, always chilling 99% of the time. And here we are on this Martin Luther King. Happy Martin Luther King. Rather happy birthday to Martin Luther King. And this week we do have See No Evil, Hear No Evil, starring Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder. But before we jump into that, we do have our weekly segment devoted to commercials. And this one, we've had contemporary commercials recently to start out with, but this week I pulled one from the past. This is the Say No to Drugs, infamous If I'm a Chicken, You're a Turkey. We'll have a brief discussion about it afterward. Todd, if you would do the honors.
Hey, Joey, I got some stuff you just gotta try.
What is it?
Pot.
You know, marijuana.
Oh, well, I don't know.
What, chicken?
Joey's in a jam. What should he do?
Cake.
Get a pizza.
Excellent. Get a pizza.
Get real.
Got it.
You got it. Let's see if Joey's that smart.
I'm not chicken. You're a turkey.
He's right. Drug dealers are dorks. Don't even talk to him.
Cowabunga!
All right. Now, if you're listening to the audio-only version and you haven't seen this commercial, it opens up with a kid probably maybe in the third grade approached by a fifth grader asking him if he wants to do the pot, as you heard, marijuana, and he shows them joints. And the voices that you hear that are asking the children the questions are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And one of the first answers that's provided is by Michelangelo when he says, get a pizza, to which makes me believe that Michelangelo is stoned all the time. If in this situation, he thinks pizza is a good idea. And what's also amusing that I find is the child first says, get a teacher, which one of the turtles acknowledges is a good idea. And lastly, one child's just, he should get out of there. And his way of getting out of there is by saying, if I'm a chicken, you're a turkey. And the dude's look who received this insult had a look on his face like he just realized, oh shit, he's right. And it's November. I mean, I get the message. I support the message. You know, kids that young should not partake. However, at the same time, I mean, come on. What are your guys' thoughts, Greg?
You know, first off, I just have to bring a few moments. This weekend was heavy with Ninja Turtles for me. I had ordered a hockey jersey with Shredder on it.
Ah.
And then watched this commercial. And I was telling my wife, I was like, man, I've had two things happen that were in connection this week. And I told her about the jersey first. And she was like, well, where's that from? And I was like, you don't know where Shredder is from? And she did not know it was Ninja Turtles.
Oh,
I felt like I needed to get divorce papers. But I calmed myself down. Yeah. And so things are good. But it was a moment of disappointment. But with the commercial, what I'm even more so disappointed in, is what fifth graders selling pot? Like, I grew up in a pretty ghetto area, and I'm sorry, it wasn't fifth grade where I saw my pot dealers coming around, you know? So I've just took me a little out of there, but yeah, I totally agree with you on the whole Michelangelo thing. I was like, you and me, bro, we're on the same page.
You just had a bad one. Todd, what about you?
I'm the whole thing with, okay, I don't get this whole thing in like the 80s and the 90s where you had drug pushers. You know, they kind of sell themselves, so they don't really need to be trying to make you buy them. So there's that. But yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it was a fun commercial this week, and next week we'll have another commercial that we'll have a stupid discussion about. Now on to our main event of this film. Now, this was See No Evil, Hear No Evil Again, starring Richard Pryor as Wally Carew and Gene Wilder as Dave Lyons. You also have lead detective played by Alan North and the killer played by Joan Severance. Synopsis reads, Wally Carew is a blind man looking for a job. Dave Lyons is a deaf man who runs a newsstand. When Dave hires Wally, he never imagines they'll have to work together to survive. After a murder occurs at their newsstand, they figure out who the killer is with their collective senses, but the investigating detective pegs them as the main suspects. When the real killer returns to cover her tracks, the two must really cooperate to live. This was released May 12, 1989, rated R, has a runtime of approximately an hour and 40 minutes. Some initial thoughts here. Oddly enough, I saw this, one of the films I saw way too early. I went to Chile when I was like 6 years old during winter vacation. No, summer vacation, so it was winter down there. And I hated the cold because I was so used to California, and it was like snow and shit. I hated it. So I would want to go to the video store and rent videos, and they'd always have the Spanish subtitles. So it's fine. And I saw Richard Pryor on the cover, and I remember Todd, you're going to laugh at this. I'm going to regret saying it, but I saw Richard Pryor first as a child in Superman 3. So I thought, oh, this should be fine. So I picked up this movie, and whoever I was, I can't remember who took me to this Chilean video store. They didn't pay attention to the rating, and I saw this movie, but that's the backstory with it. But some things happened in this movie that made me love it so much. How about you guys, Greg? Why don't you start off?
Well, how old were you again when you saw it?
About 6 years old.
Mm. Okay. So, you know, one of the things might be the fact that I've realized over the movies we've watched recently from that era, there is a major lack of breasts in modern comedies. Oh, yeah. It seems to be a running thing.
You get an abundance of male junk, though, now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a payback time.
Yeah. Pretty much.
This time it's personal.
But man, this was a definite fun one to go through, and I think with that mentioned scene, I think I know why you were like, "Wow, this is exciting at six."
before that even, but yeah, Todd.
Well, I'm old enough. I saw this theatrically as a youngster. I was the right age, so what, it was like 13, so. Joan Severance's scene was nice. I mean, better than her scenes in No Holds Barred. So, but no, this one, like, I want to say it's my first of the pairings of the comedies they were in. And I actually rewatched the other ones just because. And, well, I'll say it now. This is my favorite of the four they did together. But, yeah. That's initial stuff.
So, to go into our favorite lines or favorite scenes, if you will, this is where I sent a message to Don. I was like, I think I just had a heart attack. I was laughing so hard that I felt like two pops in my shoulder. It was like you have the belly laugh. But it was like a full body laugh where all my upper body muscles were contracting at once. And I think it like popped some bones out of place for a second. And I was seeing spots. I was out of breath. And this is when they're both in the police station after they're taken in for the murder of the individual at their newsstand. And the cop is trying to take their picture. And you have Dave, who's the deaf man keeps talking to Wally, and he needs to face Wally because he reads lips, and that's the only way he can understand what he's saying. But Wally, every time he tries to get Dave's attention, he has to tap him. So Dave turns each time he's tapped. So then the cop tells Wally, tell him to face forward. He taps him, says face forward, but it's, oh my God, I can't do it justice. Like, it's such a brilliant, it's an amazing scene. And everybody, like, this is, if there is any class in taught in comedy, like comedy and film or whatever, this has got to be like one of the examples of just, oh, it just feels like such great slapstick. So that was mine. And I really think something happened. I don't know. I got dizzy and stuff. That was hilarious. Mugshot scene. Absolutely brilliant. Greg?
Ozzy, like, once you started talking about it, I was like, son of a gun. That's the one that I was going to take, because I agree with you, man. Hands down, like, one of the funniest scenes I've seen in a long time. Like, I was in tears laughing. I was in my office, my lunch, and almost spit out my oatmeal. It was a bad situation. But God, that was one of the funniest scenes. So, I mean, that I'm going to have to say for a second time, but just for a nice backup, because we definitely need to give credit to the many funny lines in here, is where he was talking about, like, the crazy times that they've gone through, and he said, and I held somebody up with my erection. Such great line. There's too many to choose from.
All right, well, I put two down also, because I kind of knew that was going to go pretty quick.
I'll be fair, I'll throw in the second one, so it's not like, oh, Ozzy stole the one. So I got a backup as well. So
okay, well, let me get you before you get your back. All right, mine is when he's like, Richard Pryor's like, has anyone ever tried to scream in your ear? and you know, Gene Wilder's like, oh my God, I can hear, I can, and then he's like, I'm and you know, he yells at the top of his lungs, no, I'm fucking deaf. Oh, had me dying.
So on that, they actually, both of them did go to communities of the deaf and the blind to really get to know their character and everything, and get to know what it's like. And that is a common thing that happens to deaf people. I used to take sign languages, so I've, you know, gone to the one of the hard of hearing schools in the area several times, and they go, yeah, it's the most annoying thing, because people actually do that. And the thing about when they talk slowly for lip readers, like, that's a legit thing that happens. And he's like, no.
It's one of the lines I wrote down when he is trying to talk to the deaf man, and that detective has to ask Wally, why is he talking to me like that? Because he's deaf, not stupid.
Exactly.
Had me laughing pretty hard. But the last one I had put down, just, it was like a throwaway line that was so just like, it was such a sneaky hit, is when there's a scene where Wilder says, I look ridiculous. And just, the response is just quick, well, you look fine to me. If you're not paying attention, you miss it. It's one of the things I loved about it. So getting to,
Can I retract, actually? No, like, sure. I realize there was a number one that I forgot about because of that police scene. Not number one over that police scene, but the scene where Richard Pryor is like, what? I'm black? And stands up in the box and loses it. I was dying. It was very Dave Chappelle.
You don't know the adjustments that are going to have to be made.
Guess I got to cancel my swimming lessons.
That was very early on, too. So it really set everything up nicely.
You had mentioned the Braille Institute, Greg. Or, well, they went to, like, real facilities, and I know that's where he went. They actually disavowed the film after seeing it.
Oh.
Really?
We regret taking part in this film.
I don't, you know, they, I think they nail the, you know, their, the, you know, being deaf and, like, you, and being blind, like you said, they did their research. They, like, do it so spot on. It's, I don't know what their problem was.
Maybe because there was nudity involved. Well, and there was kind of like There are some awkward moments where Richard Pryor uses the excuses what he learned at the Braille Institute to try to feel abreast.
That's right.
So yes. That was probably not the best. But past, no. I mean, it was the time.
For the Institute, I get it, but I'm sure that is something some 20-year-old blind guy was like, this is funny.
Yeah.
So going on to the rating, I have to give it a solid 4 just because there was plenty of funny moments. It just didn't, I felt it was all front loaded, if that makes sense. And it wasn't like it had like a good peak, like the peak of laughter, I guess, was more towards the beginning. There was more like towards the end, it needed to actually go through with the story. But it just felt like everything funny happened in the first hour or so. Or everything really funny. And then the rest of the movie is still funny, but just not as funny as the first hour. And in my head, it's like, well, they have to wrap up the story. That's what they're focused on. But still, that as a whole in story, I'd have to give it a 4. Very funny. Holy Toledo. I enjoyed it a lot.
Man, it's... As a comedy, it is a 5, hands down, for me. As a whole movie, because like you said, the arc, the way it kind of peters off at the end, I'd go 4.5. But just as a comedy, I have laughed harder at this movie than I did for Blazing Saddles. Only because I've seen Blazing Saddles so often. Mm. It's not that it's necessarily funnier, but I think because I haven't watched it as often, it was just so refreshing, and it was one of the hardest times I've laughed in a very long time.
Fair. Absolutely.
All right. I went back and forth on this one, too. This was kind of a difficult one for me because I agree. It's so funny. I mean, I'm only going to penalize it 0.5 for not having Christopher Reeve as Superman in it. Oh, so God. I'm giving it a 4.5. It would have been a 5 if he was in it.
I almost want to just bump mine up to 4.5 so I can just be 4.5 across the board, like that we agree with as a movie, is despite Todd's stupid reasoning, thinking the Superman 3 was a good movie. Anyhow.
It's an entertaining movie.
So if anybody, actually you should, if you have the opportunity, check this out. It is available on Vudu, Amazon Prime, YouTube and Google Play. Unfortunately, not any streaming service, but it is available individually from $2.99 to $3.99. Definitely worth that amount, if anything, just for the mugshot scene. $4.
Oh, yeah. Scene.
Oh, my goodness. And then I'm not sure if those are the rental or keep, but even just seeing that once is definitely worth $4. It's like half
that's the rental price.
Oh, okay. Well, still worth it.
I agree.
If you haven't. All right. So next week, we're going to be back with a new episode and another commercial course. And as a sneak peek, we're going to be watching. Well, not as a sneak peek. We're going to be watching, but sneak peek to the next week's episode. That will be Animal House. And I cannot wait to revisit this film. And I cannot wait to hear Todd's reasoning as to why he hates it.
Oh, I didn't. Well. We'll see how my opinion changes this time.
Hates it.
Okay.
When I
love how he's got to correct
when
you.
When I suggested was like, well, it, he's like, ugh.
Well, you know
that piece of crap.
You know, I watched Superman 1 and 2 last night, so that combined with watching all those Richard Pryor movies, you know what's happening, right, Ozzy?
Oh, God. So anyhow, it'll be National Lampoon's Animal House next week, as well as a new commercial. And once again, he is Fleshman producer Todd. That is Greg. And I'm Ozzy B. And we'll see you next week right here on Flesh, Wound, Farce.